verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Turn with me to number 362. We'll sing the first and third verse, and then we'll have our opening prayer by Brother Griff. Joyful, joyful.
Heavenly Father, we approach your throne now, acknowledging you as the creator of all things. I'm so very thankful, Father, for the change in season, the cooler temperatures, the rain brings the life back to the earth. We're thankful, Father, for all the spiritual and material blessings that you've bestowed upon us. We pray, Father, that we would always be good stewards of whatever you give to us, that we may take what you've given and give back. Spread the word, spread the gospel so that all souls could be saved, Father. We pray, Father, for the sick that are here in the congregation and those that are battling illness. We pray, Father, that you would be with them and that you would comfort them. And if it be your will, Father, we pray that you would restore them to a normal portion of health. We're thankful, Father, for all of the leaders here at our church, the ones that have done so much to help the congregation, that have inspired the young men to do their part in the church, to do the will of God. We pray, Father, that you would be with all of our leaders and bless them. We pray, Father, that you would be with us during the rest of the service, that you would guide us, and we pray that everything that is done and said is pleasing in your sight, Father. We pray that you would forgive us of our sins, that we may have a home in heaven with you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll be reading from the New American Standard, Matthew 5:13-20. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one tittle of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Singing verse 1 and 2, hymn number 796. 796. Oh, Christian, do not You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, you fool, will be danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep the oath that you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no,
anything beyond this comes from the evil one.
We sing hymn number 29, All to Jesus I Surrender.
We'll be continuing our reading from Matthew 5:38 to the end of the chapter. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your Heavenly Father is perfect.
In noticing hymn number 842, The Common Love, 842. A Common Love.
Thank you.
seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do, in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. And when you pray, you shall not be like hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in a secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they seek that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you give them their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Surely I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in the secret place will reward you openly.
Noticing hymn number 961 on bended knee. On bended knee. Chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. That's Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 34. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
This time we'll sing number 191. 191. We'll sing verses 1 and 4 of God Will Take Care of You.
Matthew 7, 1-12. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then believe, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
This time we'll sing Seek Ye First, number 883. We'll sing the first two verses, and the way I'd like to do it is with the arrangement where we sing it the first through, the men sing the melody again, and the women sing the desiccant through that second verse, and then they go for the first verse, and then go to the second verse.
See you. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered by thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. I'd like to set a picture for the talk today. Imagine a businessman, a very rich businessman, is offered to own a business, pretty much, a satellite business in the Caribbean. And his house would be pretty much huge on beachfront property on 5 acres of just great ocean view right there in front of him. And it takes about 3 or 4 months for the house to be built, and he can move down there like that.
And then imagine a farmer who wants to start over and find some new land that will give him some better crops. So he moves and buys 500 acres in Wyoming and builds his house by hand, which takes him about 3 to 4 years. And he has to till the land, he has to plant seeds, and he has to pick the crops. Now, let's say a drought comes, and the man has to completely start over with his land again after the drought goes away. He has to till the land, he has to plant seeds, and he has to pick the crops again, instead of nature taking the cycle. Now, picture the rich man sitting on the beach on his lawn chair, has a little lemonade with this pink umbrella in it, just watching the waves, having a servant bring him any food he wants, go into town, get whatever he needs. That's paradise. Now, as you would pretty much know, anytime there's a hurricane in the Caribbean, so in any southern part of the country, flood comes. What do you think happens to the house in the Caribbean? All of it's gone, all the man's possessions, all of his wealth, everything is taken away from him. Now, flood comes in the man's farm, it actually helps him. The drought's over, his crops are replenished, he has a plethora of just wonderful ground to sow for future crops and make more money and to feed his family. And the house stays firm because it's built in solid ground. And that's how God wants us to build our lives. He wants us to build our lives in firm ground, which is the Bible, firm rock. That way, when flood of sin comes towards us, we can have the faith that He has set for us to take away any temptation that is set for us, completely set aside, ignore it, and not give in to that temptation. Whereas, when you're in paradise, you give in to sin, because paradise looks so good on the outside, just like sin. But once you get through it, and you live the consequences, sin doesn't look so good, and you lose your soul to hell. Now finally, what kind of architect are you? Are you an architect who building for God, who builds on a farm for support and to support his family in the rock of the word? Or are you the rich businessman who's lazy, builds his house in the sand, and gets washed away by the flood? If there's anything we can do for you tonight that can help you turn towards being a good architect for God, being a strong architect, please come forward now as together we stand and sing.
Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 16. In Luke chapter 16, we find an episode that most of us will be familiar with as Jesus relates the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And we know that the rich man during his life enjoyed all the wonderful his life struggled in poverty, in sickness, and failure of health. And that both men died, the rich man was carried off into hell, and Lazarus was comforted by Abraham in paradise. And as we look at verse number 24, the rich man looks across and sees Lazarus and calls out to Abraham and says, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us." And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." Now imagine as Jesus stood here addressing those who were there to hear him, knowing that he himself would be the one who would rise from the dead, and that they would not believe. We are gathered here today because we believe that Christ lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross, that through him we might live, and that he was raised again to life anew, that we might have hope. And with that belief that we have, we desire to serve him and keep his commands, one of which is that on the first day of the week, we remember his death by partaking of the Lord's Supper. If you have not had an earlier opportunity today, the table has been left prepared, and if you will stand, you will be served. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, Lord, we come before you now, thankful to you for this day and for this opportunity that we have to remember your Son's death upon the cross. We pray that you might bless this bread, and that each of us will partake of it with the knowledge that it represents your Son's body, which was sacrificed for us. We pray all these things in your Son's most holy name, Christ Jesus.